103.7 WWIB. Mabel Louise Stewart, hey, so good to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And yeah. You had a good time over the 4th.
I think so. And yeah, we did.
Yeah. And so did we. Oh, my goodness. I hope you did, too. It's always nice to celebrate. And, you know, when you think of July, you always think of celebrating the beautiful, beautiful independence of Declaration of Independence. Well, our family group met at Terry and Carol's, and we had such a fun time. There were 25 of us, and we had a cookout, of course. Tasted so, so good. And before we served the food, gathered around the food, the entire family members stood in a circle, and we all sang, excuse me, the Star-Spangled Banner. And then my oldest granddaughter, great-granddaughter, I should say, prayed for the family and for the food. What a thrill to hear even the little ones, little Matt, I think he's 4, going on 5, I believe. And anyway, he was singing at the top of his voice, the Star-Spangled Banner, knew the words and everything. So that tells us that the parents and grandparents are teaching their children to respect and love their country. So I have prepared 3 messages to try to emphasize right now because of all the turmoil and criticism and response, to emphasize the loyalty that we need to have and respect for our country. Such a great country. My husband and I visited 29 foreign countries, and my goodness, what a difference. I remember saying on the plane as we returned home from our tour across overseas, it was a speaking tour in all those countries, and I remember saying to my husband, sweetheart, when I get off this plane and I get in the yard of my home, I'm going to hug every tree and just appreciate everything so much, because there's such a difference, and we can be so thankful for all that the Lord has given to us. So here's the titles of my message. The story behind the song, The Star-Spangled Banner. And then on my next broadcast after today is why the Star-Spangled Banner is played at sporting events. When did it start? And some information about that. And then my third one is, what does the Bible say about a Christian and their attitude toward government and the government officials? I think we just need to be reminded of some of these things with all of the confusion that's going on right now between us. I don't like that. I like to be able to say that we love each other and agree to disagree, and in spite of disagreement, appreciate each one. So today, let me visit with you about the story behind that beautiful song, The Star-Spangled Banner. And since we just celebrated the 4th of July and our Declaration of Independence, I thought that it would be a time and timely to remind us of the history. And I love the song, and it's a thrill to be able to stand with my hand over my heart and sing it. And you know what? We need to be reminded that our freedom has truly cost so many lives of servicemen and women all through the wars, and how grateful we need to be to each one. If I see a service person, like a woman or a man with their uniform on, I always go up to them, shake their hand, and thank them for all they're doing for us. Yes, it's cost the lives of so many through the years. So we can conclude that freedom is not free. It costs, and it costs a lot. And it also takes each one of us to make it work, working together. And really, it doesn't matter of our color or our race. We just need to love one another and work out the details calmly and collectively in order to keep our freedom. So let me get into the story behind the Star Spangled Banner. Our national anthem of the United States was written by Francis Scott Key, and it is sung to music composed by John Stafford Smith. In March of 1931, Congress officially approved the song as our national anthem. But the Army and Navy had already recognized the Star-Spangled Banner as the national anthem long before the Congress had adopted it. Well, let me tell you how it came to be written. During the War of 1812, that's a long time ago, isn't it? The British forces took prisoner Dr. William Beanes, that's B-E-A-N-E-S, of Upper Marlboro, Maryland, and they held him hostage aboard a warship in Chesapeake Bay. Well, there were two Americans who received permission. They heard about it, and they received permission from the Secretary of State, James Monroe, to communicate with the British in a real strong effort to have the doctor released. And so the men were Francis Scott Key, who, by the way, was a lawyer, and John S. Skinner. Both of the men were from Washington, D.C. So the two of them boarded the warship just as the vessel was prepared to bombard Fort McHenry. And Fort McHenry protected the city of Baltimore. Well, the British agreed to release Beanes, but they held all three of the men, the Americans, on a U.S. vessel at the rear of the British fleet until after the battle ended, so that they could not reveal plans of the attack to patriots on shore. So they said, okay, we'll release him, but you have to stay here until the battle's over. Well, the bombardment started on Tuesday, September 13, 1814, and it continued all that day and almost all night. Well, Scott Key and his friends knew that Fort McHenry had such tiny defense. And the prisoners, of course, Scott Key and Beanes and Skinner, they paced the deck on the ship all night long. Even when dawn came, they didn't know who had won the battle because the smoke and haze was so thick. Well, all of a sudden, at 7 o'clock, a break in the mist cleared the view for just a moment, and the three men saw the American flag still flying over the walls of Fort. Wow. And the British stopped and firing the bombs, and all was still and quiet. Well, then Francis Scott Key expected to see Fort McHenry in absolute ruins. He picked up his telescope and his spyglass, which showed the image of a huge red, white, and blue flag flying above the harbor. Well, his heart just leaped in joy as he realized that the Americans had held their ground and that the English, or the British, had given up. Well, after 2 hard and difficult years of constant defeat and retreat, the United States could claim a decisive battle. Actually, the tide of war turned. The fort's commander had hired Mary Young Pickersgill, who, by the way, was a seamstress, to sew a banner or a flag so large that it could be seen for many miles away. The banner took more, and I really was interested in this one. You seamstress, you'll be interested too. The banner took more than 400 yards of material. The stars were 26 inches across, and the stripes were 2 feet wide, and it was set on top of the fort's 100-foot flagpole. It was 42 feet wide and 30 feet high, and it could be seen for 10 miles away. Think about it. Well, Key was so excited that he wanted to express his feelings. So he pulled out an unfinished letter from his pocket and started writing a poem, or the verses. And he wrote most of the words of the song in just a few minutes. Well, how did the song become famous? Well, the poem was printed on handbills the next morning and distributed in the city. Scott Key's brother-in-law suggested that it be sung to the name of the old English song, Anacreon in Heaven. Americans knew the melody as a military march of the 1700s and as a political song, and it was called Adams and Liberty. Well, a few days later, actor Ferdinand Durang sang the Star Spangled Banner in Baltimore. They were celebrating. So this marked the first public performance of the anthem. It became popular immediately, and 3 months later it was played during the Battle of New Orleans. By the government permission, that U.S. flag, not the one I'm talking about that I told you about, but that the U.S. flag, flies continuously over Key's grave at Frederick, Maryland, and over Fort McHenry. Let me quickly read the verses of the song, because you probably only have memorized maybe the first verse and the last verse, but it tells the heart joy of Francis Scott Key. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does the Star-Spangled Banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Were you singing it with me? Well, on the shore, here's the next stanza. He goes on and gives you the history. On the shore, dimly seen through the mist of the deep, where the foe's haughty host in dread silence reposes. What is that which the breeze o'er the towering steep, as it fitfully blows, half conceals, half discloses? Now it catches the gleam of the morning's first beam, in full glory, reflected now, it shines on the stream. 'Tis the Star-Spangled Banner, oh, long may it wave, o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. And now I'll not have time to read the third stanza, but let me end with the last. Oh, thus be it ever when freemen shall stand between their loved home and war's terrible desolation. Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven rescue land. Praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust. And the Star-Spangled Banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Let's take a stand, particularly as believers, for our country. Let's teach our children what it means to be loyal and faithful, and most of all, thankful for our beautiful, beautiful country. God bless you. Bye-bye.